So how's that New Year's resolution coming along? Lost any weight yet? We're all familiar with the fad diets du jour, from raw foods to no carbs to buns of steel. Now, economist Richard McKenzie suggests a sizable wager. Put your money, not that bacon cheeseburger, where your mouth is. So tell us, what incentives do you use to lose weight? Our number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can also weigh in on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Richard McKenzie is a professor of economics and management at the University of California, Irvine, and joins us from the studios of KUCI in Irvine, California. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Good to be with you.
And as an economist, once you realize this arrangement, why didn't you think of this sooner?
Well, I'm really startled that I didn't think of it much sooner, because I teach incentives matter throughout my microeconomics course for MBA students. I've taught a course in managing through incentives. I think I just stumbled upon it in some frustration on trying to lose 10 pounds over the last decade. I've lost a lot of weight, but I've gained a lot of it back.
I was going to say the same 10 pounds.
Basically, yes. It just dawned on me one day that I could create my own incentive to hold me to the diet plan. And that is, I have a friend. I was in North Carolina at the time, and I contracted with a friend to pay her $500 on December 1 if I had not lost 9 pounds by that date. And she also agreed to take the money and spend it on herself, not to somehow take me out to dinner or take her husband and me out to dinner in some way.
So that would be a real loss.
It was a real loss. And actually, I considered going to $1,000. But I decided that that was too much of a gamble, too much of a wealth threat. And also, a $1,000 payoff might give my friend too much of an incentive to undermine my diet strategy. So it's a lot of interesting things that came out of it. But the good news is that it worked super well, and primarily because if you have that $500 payment threat hanging over your head, the price of a cheeseburger goes up dramatically. The price of baby carrots goes down. You pay yourself to walk an extra mile or two for exercise.
And so now you have to take that bulging wallet out of your pants every time you weigh yourself, or else you're going to get all that weight back.
Well, I tell you, I did do everything possible to minimize my weight on a daily basis, because I became neurotic about it and weighing myself 3 and 4 times. And I know most people say you shouldn't do that because variation in weight, but still,
the more water you've had that particular day or the day, whatever.
Oh, that's right. And some days I would have, say, water weight loss, and I would treat that as a real income increase. And unfortunately, I'd go out and maybe have an extra glass of wine at dinner as a result of my, unexpected drop by 2 pounds. But anyway, I ended up losing 14 pounds in part because I had to have a margin of safety because of upcoming Thanksgiving dinner.
I see. So this was in a way to insulate yourself against the calorie onslaught to come.
That's right. So I had a 3 or 4 pound margin on Thanksgiving. And my friend with whom I contracted did, in fact, email me. And she said something. She invited me to Thanksgiving dinner. And she said, I cook out of this world mashed potatoes with sour cream cheese and butter and with gravy. And we always have mimosas and crab dip before lunch. And she goes on and on. And what I was able to do is say to my friend, Nancy, would you pay $500 for that meal? And she, of course, said no. And I said, well, why would you expect me to pay $500 for the meal that you proposed? So you had an easy comeback to people who wanted to tempt you. Look, I've got a hold to my diet strategy. And it was a very private thing. It doesn't have to be like Weight Watchers, where you go off and have some sort of seance with other overweight people. This was real. The threat was always there, and I wanted that threat to be real and persistent. A friend of mine told me, said, "Well, Richard, if you get into trouble toward the end of the period, there's always diuretics and laxatives and so forth." And I said, "Jim, I really didn't want to hear that advice, because it undermines the threat."
I think you'd be whistled for a penalty if that's not fair.
And this is a case in which you don't want to cheat. I mean, you set out to actually lose the weight, not to try to deceive yourself and so forth. And so I did play honest on the game.
I'm sure your friend Nancy is a tremendous cook. And if the wager had been $50, you know, that meal might have been worth $50.
Oh, yeah, $5, I'd have probably gone to her dinner, and I'm sure I wouldn't have worried nearly as much. But the great thing about this strategy is that you can design the scheme to fit whatever circumstances you have. A waitress was concerned that when I told her about why I was ordering only vegetable soup for lunch, she said, well, you know, you can afford to lose $500. I can't. I said, okay, try $100. Try 5 pounds and $100, and take the out period as long as you want.
Hmm. We're asking listeners if they have ever used economic incentives to modify their behavior, particularly in diets, but it could be other things. If you have, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And let's start with Eric. Eric with us from Denver, Colorado.
Hi there. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Love your show, and just a little quick story. A good buddy of mine and I both made a bet for $500 that whoever broke the agreement of quitting smoking had to pay the other person $500.
So that first Marlboro got really, really expensive.
Exactly, and I'll tell you what, New Year's Eve was a very difficult time for me, but I was fortunately able to keep it. Unfortunately for him, he was not able to. So. Looking forward to that $500.
Still looking forward, so he hasn't paid up yet.
No, not yet. We haven't been able to see each other so far. He lives in a different state, so.
Oh, so it's not, he's not just running off with the money.
No.
Okay.
No, exactly.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And love your show.
Thanks very much for that. And Richard McKenzie, there's no reason you devised this formula to work with diets, but there's no reason it shouldn't work for smoking.
No reason at all. In fact, if you feel like you drink too much, agree to pay somebody $100 every time you drink more than two glasses of wine a day. That could be better than AA. I know it seems to work for me, and it was persistent and really it kept me to this diet strategy in a way that other attempts did not. I've had an MBA student one of my former students said that she had contracted with a friend other than her husband to lose 15 pounds by the end of the year, this year, or else she would have to pay $1,440. I don't know how she came up with
$1,440.
But she said that the contract holds even if she gets pregnant during the year.
Wow.
And I think that's rather daring, but it seems to me that that puts a lot of pressure on her husband. I have a sneaky suspicion that she's interested in getting pregnant over the next month or two, but I may be wrong on that.
Here's an email from Sandra in Louisville, Kentucky. My fiancé was recently presented with a weight loss challenge from his best friend that whoever got below 200 pounds first wins an Xbox 360. After telling him that was no way in the world I was going to buy his friend a new Xbox, he has been completely dedicated to his diet, which is low carb. It isn't only that he wants the new gaming system for himself, but it's now a matter of bragging rights and male pride. I believe this will be a formula for success. And I meant to ask you about that. Making this public, even to just one friend with whom you're making the bet, at that point, if you make it public, it makes it harder to go back on it, doesn't it?
It does. And I had the added incentive. I actually write my MBA students' emails every now and then, talk about economics and incentives and so forth. And I presented them with an early version of the piece that appeared in Wall Street Journal. And I had the extra incentive that I didn't want to have to admit to my students that incentives don't work. In this case, again, they worked. So you have the money thing and you have the embarrassment thing. And indeed, it would be best to announce it to everybody. And in fact, it would have been better had I made this contract with somebody I didn't know, or perhaps made the contract with somebody I don't like. Because the pain of the $500 would have been greater. And for listeners, if you don't like George Bush, make the contract that you give $500 to the George Bush Memorial Library. Or if you don't like Hillary Clinton, make the contract to make $500 contribution. The pain goes up.
But make it public.
And make it public. And, of course, if you make it to somebody you don't like, you can reduce the amount. You can have a $400 payment to somebody you detest can have the same incentive as a $500 to somebody whom you like.
We're talking with Richard McKenzie, a professor of economics and management at the University of California, Irvine, about a piece he wrote in the Wall Street Journal called Dieting for Dollars. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. And we talked about motivation, Richard, but how did you do it? Eat less, exercise more?
I switched in the morning from eating a bagel with cream cheese to having bowls of oatmeal. Had more bowls of vegetable soup for lunch than anything. And then I also increased my exercise walk when I was in North Carolina. Since then, I probably have increased my biking from, say, 50 to 60 miles a week before I did the diet strategy to, say, around 100 miles a week today. So it's had long-term consequences for me. Not perfect consequences. I still take a bite of a honey bun every now and then and a glass of wine. So I still enjoy life, but I'm still lowering my weight. And, in fact, I've re-upped with my friend Nancy for $500 to be paid if I don't lose 5 pounds by I think it's March 1.
March 1st.
Is the deadline.
Okay.
Yes. And I think if I get down to there, I'll be at my right weight.
Okay. We'll talk with Jason. Jason with us from Faribault in Minnesota.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I had a similar agreement with a friend of mine for 10 pounds over 6 months, and it was $250. But the only thing I would thought that would help our listeners would not only pay your buddy the money if you don't get it, but then set aside a goal or reward or something you want for yourself for that dollar amount. And if you reach your goal, then you buy that for yourself as a reward for a goal reached. You know, it's always better to have a positive reward than a negative one. So that's what we used.
So, Richard, you didn't actually get a reward. You just didn't have to pay the $500.
That's right. And I can see where the reward could work, but in this case, the pain was more important. What it did is it losing weight is painful. And what I did is I made the pain of the payment greater than the pain of losing the weight, which gave me the appropriate cost benefit calculation that we economists are always talking about.
Jason,
yeah, that's one of the things with when I was in college, the economists were always talking about that, and I just decided to go the one step forward and set that money aside anyway, and then when I made it, then I got to spend the money on myself.
So what did you decide to get for yourself?
Oh, I had set for myself a goal, like an accessory for my car, and I'm a kind of a car nut, so when I reached that as something I'd wanted for years, I just couldn't justify taking it out of my budget. But once I had reached that, I'd already set that money aside, so... you know what? That new stereo in my car is really nice.
Well, the problem with giving the money to yourself is that to have the same incentive, you've got to, I think, contribute. I think it would be contribute more to the fund than you would if you were giving it to somebody else. I'd have to think about that. But that's an interest. I've heard of a staff member here at UC Irvine who has put $25 in 4 envelopes for her coworkers. And she has agreed with her coworkers or her friends that she's going to add $5 to each of those envelopes every week if she has not lost at least a pound. So there are variations of this kind of deal.
Right.
Jason, Professor McKenzie will be expecting your paper, comparative incentives, how it all works out. It's due tomorrow, by the way.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Jason, thanks very much for the call. Good luck.
Yep.
And Richard, you mentioned that Nancy, the woman with whom you made the bet, but once this became public, didn't you find people that were trying to undermine you?
Oh, yes. Her husband would oftentimes invite me out for wine in the afternoon and would, in fact, tempt me at lunch when we would go to lunch and But it was all in good humor for the most part. But
sure, you won't have another onion ring?
Well, there is some of that. But you always, whenever somebody does tempt you, you could say, look, I've got to pay this $500 if, in fact, I don't lose this weight. And at one point, I was really concerned that I wouldn't be able to do it. And indeed, the day after I signed the contract, I gained a pound. And I immediately went out, and this was in North Carolina where I was on sabbatical. I immediately joined the gym at very high short-term rates. The price of the gymnasium membership was reduced by this $500 deal.
So there you have that aspect of it as well. Who would have thought that with all of these different plans around, as you suggest, there are Jenny Craig and then all the exercise programs and various formulations for different kinds of diet. Who thought the invisible hand would work?
I know, and I've since heard, since the column appeared in the Wall Street Journal, I've heard about a couple of economists up in some place like Cornell University that's trying to make a business of selling these kind of contracts. I don't see how they can make money off of it.
But I can hear lawyers licking their chops right now.
I don't see how they can, because it's so easy to make your own contract with somebody you don't know. I mean, why would you pay somebody an additional amount just to make the contract when you can add that to the pain of the payment?
Richard McKenzie, congratulations, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's been enjoyable.
Richard McKenzie, a professor of economics and management at UC Irvine. His op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, Dieting for Dollars, his latest book entitled Why Popcorn Costs So Much at the Movies and Other Pricing Puzzles. He joined us from the studios of KUCI in Irvine, California. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.